The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you've touched us. And thank you that you are pleased with us, your kids. As we go through this message, Lord God, just help us to say what you desire for us to say and hit the elements you desire for us to hit and grab the spirit of our pastor and not be long-winded. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that's a miracle.
Yeah, you grab hold of that spirit, Pastor Otis. Grab hold of that spirit.
All right. How's everybody doing this morning? You feeling good? Amen. I feel good. All
see,
right.
See, he's
so, done. Yes, it's going to be a challenge to not go too long. But, you know, just about every year, sometimes twice a year, but at least once a year, we want to go over praise and worship. It's a good thing to go over and to continually remind ourselves, why are we doing what we do? And I just need to let you know, if you've heard this message before, you might be thinking, wow, I've heard them do this several times, and I don't really need anything else out of this. Don't check out. Seriously, we have a way of doing that sometimes, but I believe every time we hear the word, God will illuminate something new that we need to hear, and we might have thought it was never there. We might have thought, oh, surely I've heard it all, but whoa, what is that thing doing there? God's illuminating something fresh for us today. So keep your ears perked and so that you can hear what God wants to say to us, because it's not just for people who are new. It's for us who have been here over and over and have heard this over and over. You never hear it enough. Now, do understand, we do have a lot of new folks who have been coming to Bethel, which is awesome, which is good. We want that. But we want you to know there's, go on and give God some praise for that. Amen. But we do want you to know that there is nothing that we do that is outside of the scripture. And actually, if you see something that we do that is nowhere in the scripture, please discard it and tell us about it later or ask a question on it. We want to be in compliance with the word and actually alignment with the word of God. Okay.
And be nice. Be nice.
Yes. All right, so we're going to be talking about why we worship and why we worship the way we do, okay? So it's one thing to worship. It's another thing to worship the way God instructs. And so we want to make sure, you know, there's other churches you go to, they worship, and that's cool. But it might look different than what it looks here. We want you to know why we worship the way we worship, amen? All right, so why do we do it? One, and you could go to the next slide, I think. Okay, never mind. I'm not ready for that yet. I got notes here. I should just follow my notes, and then the slides will kick in.
Yeah, because I wrote out notes.
Yeah, I got the notes here, babe. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm so privileged to let this young woman.
Oh, here we go. See, this is how it gets long, because he don't stay okay. On task.
Hey, I will tell you this. Ivy the other day was at the store, and somebody thought she was a 20-year-old, and so she's just been so happy.
Actually, I wasn't. I just said it.
All right, so listen, why do we do what we do? One, God looks for people who worship him. The word tells us that God looks for people who will worship him. Let's turn to John. Let's turn to John 4. And what'd you say?
I got it.
Oh, you already got it?
Yep, I got it. This is John chapter 4, verse 23.
And
24. And it says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
So that's why one of the reasons we worship, because he seeks those who will worship him in this level. You know what I like about this scripture, though? Also, it says, now, okay? Now is. This thing never expires. There's always a now. As long as you're breathing, there's a now. Right?
That's right.
Amen. So there's no time where you get to say, I've achieved and I can stop. You know, he is always seeking those who will worship him in truth, the true worshipers, right? So understand that is for us. We'll worship him in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking those to do that. In 24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's not a fleshly thing, even though you get to see our bodies moving. I want you to know, just like wind will breathe through this room. I know, this is how it get long, right? Just as wind breathes, will come through a room, and you can't see the wind, you can feel it. But if there were some leaves here or a dust, you could see the effects of the wind. Your body worshiping is a spiritual thing, but you're moving flesh. Okay? So don't think we're being fleshly because you see us dancing. No, the spirit inside is dancing. Amen?
So Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
All right. Good. Thank you. She's keeping me on time. Also, another reason we worship is because we love him. We love God. And those who worship, those who love God will worship him. It's just in us. Yeah. It is in us to do. And so any relationship that is a loving relationship that's void of expression, you know, of love and of touch, yes, and intimacy, it's not going to have strength. And so he wants us to worship him, and we do it because we love him. Another, we are passionate for him. So those two work together. We are passionate for him, okay? So we're passionate for the things of God, and as we go to him, he gets to almost like imprint on us, if I use a word. Let's say, as I come into his presence, I used to have a friend who, anytime he would give me a hug, he would leave me, and I would smell like him. I still have a friend. Probably today, if I hugged him, the same thing would happen. But he would put on a certain amount of cologne, and so when I give him a hug, he would leave. Somebody else I walk up to, they would say, you saw so-and-so.
Yeah.
Almost said his name.
They've experienced it.
But they would say, oh, I smell him on you. Well, that's what God wants to do.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. So now we want to get into why we worship the way we do. So, you know, we want to talk about, because whenever we do this message, we get long. And we never get to this part. So
it's not my fault.
Yes, it is. So we decided to put it on the front end. So that's what we're going to do. So we want to talk today about why we do the stuff that we do, like why we move and why we clap and why we lift in our hands. It's not simply a personality thing. These things are mandated by Scripture. So these are things that God instructs us to do. So when Heavenly Father, when the risen Lord Jesus, and when Holy Spirit look upon us, they expect to see these gestures of praise and worship. They expect to see these things. So if you're not doing them, are you passionate for God? If you're not doing these gestures of praise and worship, do you love him? He wonders. Just gonna let that hang there. Okay, that's good. So let's go to clapping. I let it hang there for a suitable amount of time. Go ahead, Mateo. We're going to go to clapping. This is one of the gestures of praise and worship. In Psalm chapter 47, verse 1, it says, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. So we clap our hands again because it's mandated in Scripture. There's a reason. And the Hebrew word for clapping is taqua. It's spelled T-A-Q-A. And gosh, this word appears so many times in the Bible, the Hebrew word taqua. So clapping our hands, we are showing God that Well, I say this in children's church. When we clap our hands for God, we're saying, hey, God, you're awesome. You do a great job.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. It really is.
That's
we're exalting him. We're giving him our praise. We're saying, woo, you're awesome. You're great. Also, when we clap our hands, we're kind of doing these two things at the same time. When we exalt God, when we tell him that he's doing a good job, we're also saying to the enemy, you are getting punked. We're smiting the enemy. So clapping is important. Mm-hmm. It's important that we not stand with our hands folded in praise and worship. Let's exalt the name of God and simultaneously beat back the devil.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, we can say amen louder than that. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're doing that stuff. So let's you know, we're going to loosen up.
Hey, also something just to throw in real quick. You know, it talks about the enemy being the prince of the power of the air. Amen. Most of our battles, even though we don't see them, we think we're in physical fights down here. But really, principalities over the area, a certain geographical area, there's battles that's happening. The prince of the power of the air is trying to come against you. But you actually confuse his conversation. You mess up his communication by clapping. And when you clap, anybody who stands close to a clap of one person, you're going to feel that air compress and push off. You're going to feel it. Well, imagine what happens when we're unified and we clap as one. It creates such a noise and such a movement in the air that it destroys the enemy's his ability to communicate as effectively as he would. So God knew what he was doing. Amen.
And so I also wanted to point out in Psalm chapter 98, verse 8, the world claps as well. The nature claps its hands, so to speak. Psalm chapter 98, verse 8, it says, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. So the world is clapping. The nature is clapping. We should join in.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to let that hang for a minute.
Now she's taking time.
No, that's good, because we got to let it seep in, plus some people are writing.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. It's
yes,
reverberating.
Yes, yes. We're going to clap our hands. Look, and we had our little clapping tutorial last week, so we're almost pros. Mm-hmm. We're almost pros. We can clap and sing at the same time. And even if you feel like you can't, you know what? If I see you clapping and you clapping on 1 and 3, I may join you because I'm just excited to see some people clap.
Amen.
If you counting on 12, I'm happy for that too. If we're in 4-4, there's not 12 beats in a measure. I'm just saying. So let's go to, look, he pointed. Let's go to uplifted hands. Uplifted hands. In the Hebrew, there are two words for uplifted hands. One is yada, Y-A-D-A-H. The second word is toda, T-O-W-D-A-H. So I want to go to Psalm chapter 134. Ooh, you're there. Ooh, yay, thank you. Psalm chapter 134, verse 2. It says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Can't get no more simple than that. Mm-hmm. And that's a yada, okay? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So when we lift up our hands to our God, we're showing him again that we exalt him. We're showing God that he has our support. Like when you go to the football game and everybody does the wave. We're showing the support for the team. They took that from the Bible. Write them letters and let them know that. They took that from the Bible. The church did it first. Mm-hmm. You hear what I say?
Come
the
on.
Church did it first.
That's right.
We're to be an example.
That's right.
Lift your hands and exalt the name of God.
Yes.
That's the best
Amen.
Team that there
Hallelujah.
Is. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to be real plain. If you go into basketball games, if you're going to football games, watching your kids, watching your grandkids, and you're showing so much enthusiasm, and then you come here and you stand still, I'm just going to go tisk, tisk, tisk. Tisk, tisk. That's spelled T-S-K. We have to have that type of enthusiasm here. Actually, we should have more.
That's right. That's right.
It should Amen. Be loud up in here.
Mm-hmm.
There should be movement up
that's
in
right.
here. The
that's
dancers
right.
shouldn't sweat because they should feel the wave, the wind from your arms.
That's right. Amen.
Look, don't you appreciate that? Wouldn't you appreciate feeling the wind? It's hot in them dresses. Wave your arms. Get some air moving. Hallelujah. So we're showing God our support. We're showing God that we are thankful. We're showing God that we surrender our hearts and our lives to Him. When we lift up our hands, we're open. Nothing's hidden. Everything's exposed. He can see it anyway. Why are we hiding? Why are we doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's a yada. Now let's talk about a toda. A toda looks like this. Okay, that's lifting our hands, but it's lifting our hands to receive. We're saying, God, whatever you got to offer, I want it. Don't ya? Yeah, whatever he has to offer, don't you want it? Everything he has is good. Everything that he has is perfect. I want more of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be greedy when it comes to the things of the Lord. He
That's
likes
right.
that.
That's right.
He wants children that want to feed off of him. That's what he desires. So when we lift our hands in this way, we're giving him a toda. We're saying, God, whatever you have for me, I want it.
Yeah, you know, and remember when Peter wasn't going to let Jesus wash his feet? I believe it was Peter, yeah. And no, I won't have it. And Jesus said, look, if you want to be part of me, I got to do this. So he said, well, in that case, wash my, you know. It was like, hey, he wanted all of it. Wash everything then, gee. You know, sometimes that's how we need to be. God doesn't mind us being hungry for all. It's not like, he doesn't mind if we, I'm not going to say greed, but if we pursue all that he has for us. Now, there's other areas there he doesn't want us to do that, but it is okay in those areas where he says, I have something for you. He doesn't want you to leave anything on the table. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Sometimes when I'm at work, I'll have my earbuds in because I'm worshiping. And when people come in and ask me to do stuff for them, they're interrupting my time.
Heaven forbid they pay you to not
teach. Look, you know, glory. Thank you. Look, that's taxpayer dollars that's being used for good. Hallelujah. I work for a public institution. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Thank you for my worship time. So sometimes I have to turn my music down because I start getting teary-eyed. Whew. I was like, okay, I got to concentrate on my job. now it's your turn.
Okay, so you're done with all that?
Yep.
All right, good enough. All right, so check it out. Another one. Now, again, remember what we're talking about. These are gestures you will see when you come in here. And if you bring a guest, don't be ashamed. Don't feel bad. Don't feel like I'm embarrassed by my church. We're doing what the Bible says.
Yes.
I've gone to my mom's church, especially back in the day. I went to her church and I was clapping and raising my hand. And in that whole place, that was about 400 people in that church. And nobody was doing it.
Yeah, because they're the church of the big lady hats.
Yeah.
Big hats.
But I look like the oddball, but I sure enough was thinking, what is wrong with y'all up in here? Anyway,
yeah.
These things are supposed to be done. Okay, so another thing we do is we bow. Bowing. It's okay to bow in the house of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's not just okay, it's required. And so in Psalms 95:6,
it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Y'all remember
yes.
that old song? That's a nice old
o
song.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Mm-hmm. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. That Hebrew word is Barak.
B-A-R-A-K.
Right. It means to kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration, to salute. Now, there's times that God will tell us to do certain ones of these. It's not like every service you're going to do every piece, okay? You got to be listening. It depends on what's really happening at the time. There's been times where I've just had to fall to the ground, or I've had to stop and just bow. It's almost, in my estimation, this is me, this is Otis. Maybe it's different from you. It's almost like saying uncle. When you're in a little, you know those little things you do, and you're wrestling, or I don't even remember how we used to do it, but my uncle would get me to a point where, and actually even if it wasn't my uncle, but my uncle thought he was a he-man, and so he always wanted to prove a point. But he would bring me to a point, and once you say uncle, he would let you up. For me, I'm saying, look, you don't have to fight me, God. I understand who's alpha in the room. I'm bowing down to you because I'm saluting you. I'm recognizing who you are. And so that when you see us do that in here, sometimes it comes across everyone and we don't even have to say it. The presence of the God is of the Lord is in the place to a measure that sometimes we all hear from him directly. What is it he wants done? And it blows me away sometimes when it happens, when the room goes silent and nobody said, let's be quiet. Mm-hmm. But we all heard from God. Something's going on. Let's just wait. Or for some reason, people just are brought to bow down. That's God speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to do. Amen?
I tell you, this is one of the things that I love about our pastor. Because I tell you, Pastor Rob will get down and put his face in the carpet in a minute. It's really awesome.
I love seeing a worshiping pastor.
I love that. Because because our pastor worships, because he bows himself low before our maker, we know that we're getting some good guidance. That's a good thing.
Submit it, yes.
Sometimes, let's clap for that. It's good. Sometimes, I have to say, though, as a praise and worship leader, it's kind of hard because it's like, okay, well, he just needs more time, so we just keep singing. So sometimes we don't know whether to keep going or, keep moving with the service because he's having a moment.
Yeah, sometimes when he gets up, there's lint in his face, and we have to pick it up. No, I'm teasing.
Love you. Have fun on your vacation.
Yeah. Another thing we do is shouting. We're just not being emotional. It's strategic.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when we shout to overcome, to shouting is to overcome, to cry out, to make a ringing cry of joy, cry out in prayer, and desperation. So it could be these different reasons. These different things could be attached to it. But so, and not even to, I was thinking about this. I don't know, and I've talked about this before. When you let out a good shout, I don't know if you realize, think about what it does physically for you. Most will experience a reset or a refreshing, It's just when something has happened or there's whatever it is that's going on inside of you, sometimes you can't contain it. You just got to shout it out. And when you let that thing release and you exhaust that air that is in you, God breathed into you, you became a living soul. And when you exhale and shout that thing out with some noise, there's something that takes place in the heavenly realm, but there's also a refreshing that happens within you. Amen.
So Psalm chapter 35, verse 27, we're still talking about shouting. Psalm chapter 35, verse 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, don't try to silence your neighbor. Now, I will tell you this. If there are appropriate times for these things to happen,
Yeah. Okay?
So, if pastor's up here preaching and we're outside of that praise and worship setting, pastor's up here preaching. He might be sharing an intimate word or doing a teaching. If you just want to get up and start shouting and shouting and shouting all through his message, that is going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's a little that's ill-timed.
Because God does still do things in decency and order. Okay, so we still need to have that. But shouting is very much a part of what God wanted to have happen. Remember when Gideon, well, I could go on over that, but listen, Gideon and his boys, you know, they had the clay jars and they had the fire that was in it, okay, and they had the horn. And that horn made a shout, basically. When they broke the glass and they had the fire, the torch, it made that whole thing, it made it seem like Gideon had more people with him. Mm-hmm. And it created fear in the enemy's hearts. And when they sounded out with the shofar, I was going to say horn.
Not a ham.
I must be hungry.
They probably didn't eat ham because they were Jewish.
That might have been a problem.
Yeah, that
ham sandwich.
That'd have been a problem.
Ham sandwich is a miracle whip after that. But anyway, no. Anyway, it scared the enemy. So the shout is okay. It is okay. Let it happen and let it reset you. Amen.
In Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19, and actually reading the entire book of Lamentations is a good idea for all Christians. Okay, just want to put that there. When you see someone come to the altar and they're kind of crying out before God in prayer, they're being really emotional, we need to leave them be. They're doing the Lamentations too. Okay, we need to leave them be. That's not the time to come and show your support and lay hands on them. They're doing something that Holy Spirit is drawing out of them. We need to leave them be. So let them come to the altar and contend with Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's in, and it's also, no, it's okay. Also, it's like, I think it's important to also say that it's not simply emotion. Okay? Emotion is there, and that's good, and it's okay. I think sometimes, especially for us as Bethelites, we think that when we see somebody come up that they're like really demonstrative, they're just being very, very emotional. Yes, that's true, and yes, it's good. But we take this attitude, I'm gonna let them have their moment. Isn't that lovely? It's so good. No, you should join them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm gonna let that hang there too. Mm-hmm. I tell you, when Brother Jerry comes up, I use Brother Jerry because he's the perfect example. When Brother Jerry comes up and he takes the carpet, I join him. That's what we're supposed to do. We should join in. What would happen if we all joined in that wave? You think a miracle maybe? Do you think we would see some legs grow out, cancer be removed, type 1 diabetes coming off of people's bodies if we joined that wave?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's join in. Let's do that together. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do that together. Yes. Okay, I took yours. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. You know, Jacob, when Jacob was dividing the cattle from Laban, Jacob was going to have his cattle. Laban was always taking the good stuff. But there was a spot in the scripture where it talked about Jacob would keep the ones that were spotted or speckled or had, you know, marks on them. But anyway, in that scripture, and just what I want to illustrate here by this story is the fact that sometimes by seeing, what happens to me when I see Jerry comes up, or I see Terry dancing, or I see somebody else adding something in, or Siva in the back, whatever, any of you, I look out, Tina, Sister Tina, you're one who inspires me when I'm looking out, and I see people moving, and I see that. What it is for me, it looks like every log being added to a fire, and that log or that fire gets bigger as each one adds their log. right? And so what happened when Jacob had his animals, he wanted them to birth spotted, whatever it was, you know? And so he would put where they were feeding, he would take the branch and he would make it look like he wanted it, like it was spotted. And right where they fed, he would put that in their trough, and that's what they saw as they ate. And then when they gave birth, their offspring were spotted. So he got to claim them. He got to own them. Okay? So even if the mama wasn't spotted, when they looked and saw the branch in the trough and was eating, they consumed something with their eyes, not just what they were eating. There's a deep spiritual thing there. Well, goodness, that thing would preach. But anyway, what I'm saying to you is this. Your neighbor very much does have the ability to help you get where you're supposed to get. Because as we're in here eating and we're trying to consume, maybe you're not in a great space. But by seeing your neighbor overcoming and watching them get crazy for God, it starts to spark something in you and starts to turn in you, and it starts making you want to reproduce it. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I know I'm taking time with this, but I think it's important. I was working out. I know you can't tell by the looks of it right now, but there was a time. No. Anyway, I was working out, and I was on a treadmill, and I was watching video. I had the little video on my treadmill, and I'm just doing my thing. I learned to stop watching fighting scenes as I'm doing that. Because I would watch a fighting scene, and they would just be tough. And I would realize I'm falling. I'm starting to do what I see on the screen. And I'm trying to run straight. What you visualize, you start to try to emulate through your body. It's natural. So when Jerry comes up and goes the heck off, I'm sitting here, and you might not notice, I'm like, yeah, come on, I'm getting in there. And I look out, and I see somebody, yes, you're adding your logs to this fire, and it starts to fan into something awesome. And then God, we create an atmosphere where God can come in and do miraculous things. Amen?
Yes.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's really good. We're creating a miracle culture, and it's important for us to stay there because that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to create a miracle culture.
Amen. Miracle cultures.
A miracle culture. We should be experiencing more miracles because we're Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Bethel means house of God. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there should be miracles here.
Yeah.
Every week, we should be walking out with our eyes in wonderment. We should be awed. We should be stunned. Brother Todd said this morning that people are going to come here to get rest.
The God chasers are going to come here.
God chasers are going to come here and get rest so that they can go out and do what they need to do. Because a miracle culture is supposed to be here. Yeah.
Now understand that word that Todd dropped.
He said that this morning in morning prayer. It didn't happen out here. It happened in morning prayer.
But understand the significance of that. God chasers chase as long as God is moving ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the move. Now, it doesn't mean he came here and stopped. But what he's saying in that word is God chasers are going to get rest here because God's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good news. I don't know if that is awesome news. Where God is, miraculous things show up.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
What an awesome statement. God just revealed to us the revelation of that.
It's so wonderful. It's wonderful to say that God is here. I can't keep my foot still right now and stop the tears because God is here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we understand that?
Amen.
Do we know that?
Thank you,
Lord. How are we quiet? How are we still when God is here?
That's right.
We have to understand that. It changes our behavior to understand and know way down deep that God is here.
Yeah. Yes. Expectations It just builds our expectations. So we're still talking about gesture, and we'll get to some things on corporate worship here soon. But another thing you'll see is dancing. And it's okay. Dancing is all right. In Psalms 149, verse 3, let them praise his name with the dance. Oh, you know what? In Psalms 149, verse 3, I don't know if you want to turn there, but... Okay, I do have it up there. Good. Let them praise him, his name, with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. Okay, so in the Bible, God always, well, unless they were dancing, you know, for other reasons, but dance was always a part of his worship. David was so happy to bring the ark back to his home territory that we know the story. David bucked out of his clothing. Now, I'm not encouraging anyone to do that.
No.
But I am saying dance with all you've got. David's wife got after him so bad and was so ashamed of him that she ended up becoming barren because of her mouth that she put on him. But David was not ashamed. There was such an awesome thing taking place, and worship was at such a level. He danced outside. He danced most of his clothing off. I don't know that he was naked.
I didn't say he was naked, but it's important.
I was going to say I didn't.
It did not say that.
I was like, I didn't know that was in the Bible. He was naked.
I think it's important for me to like let that echo. So in Scripture, we can see people dance when they're experiencing pain and joy. Dance is not only for happiness. People dance. Actually, when you do a Hebrew study, there are different forms of the word dance throughout Scripture. If you do a Hebrew study, there were sometimes people were dancing at funerals. Their bodies would move and dance and praise even when they were grieving. Okay, so dance is just, it's supposed to be a part of who we are. Standing stiff is not who we're supposed to be. So if you're not lifting your hands, if you're not moving your body in any way at all, you look more odd doing that. Because, you know, some people don't dance because they find that embarrassing. They don't think that it's solemn or that it's respectful. No. You look odder to Jesus when you stand still as a stick. I'm going to just be real plain.
It's almost like, you do know I saved you, right?
Right.
I know you haven't felt the heat of hell, but I saved you from that.
Yes.
I saved you from darkness. Right.
I'm the risen Lord.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
And I do want to be clear, these are strategic. It's not emotional. So let me explain what I mean when I say strategic. They're purposeful and they're planful to bring about a specific outcome. They are strategic. So that means it has nothing to do with me wanting to. I will tell you the truth. There's a lot of times I'm leading worship up here, not because I want to.
Right.
There are times I don't feel good.
Yeah.
There are times that somebody might have done something to me, and I really just feel like reaching out with a holy hand. That's not so holy sometimes. But... and God says to me sometimes, are you worshiping? Even when I'm sitting there, son, why are you worshiping? He has to remind me, don't just do a job. Don't just play a keyboard. Don't just sing the lyrics. Are the lyrics real? Do you know the lyrics?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Why are you singing? And so I want you to understand, it's so easy to do what we want to do. It's harder to do the right thing when we don't want to do it. And that's what he wants us to come to. And then he will come in and do a miraculous work. Because like I said, when I was talking about tithe, he's all about the obedience. All right?
Amen. So standing is one of the gestures of worship. There's a reason why we stand when we are praising and worshiping the Lord through song. So I'm just going to take you there real quick. It's Psalm chapter 135, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. So if you are physically able to stand, you should. If you can't, don't. Stand in your heart. Okay?
Right.
All right. All right. Quick and easy. See how fast that was?
You go, girl.
All right. He's taking note. So singing.
You sure you don't want to let it hang there?
No, no. Okay. I think we got that one. Okay. So singing. So singing, the Hebrew word for singing is tehillah, and that is spelled T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H, tehillah.
Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah.
Yes. Look, and you know what? You should make that clear. Spell that again as I find the scripture.
Yes, T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H.
Tehillah, not tequila. So singing is an act of humility and joyfulness. Singing, when we sing these songs together, we're testifying. And what does the word say about testifying? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when we sing together, we're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you can't sing. Make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the music is loud.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I mean, that is funny, but it's really, really true. The point of praise and worship music being loud is so that you can be comfortable making the sound that you make.
Mm-hmm.
So if your sound is, I love you, Lord, sing it.
Right, right. Exactly. Let it go.
Sing it. I love when Pastor Dot is able to be in here. Because have y'all ever noticed that Pastor Dot sings things? She'll sing a song like 4 octaves higher than everybody else. It's gorgeous. And we can hear her way up here. And I'm like, oh, Dot has a day off this week. It's exciting. Don't tell her that because she'll probably be like, oh, everybody can hear me. Yes, we can hear you. And it's gorgeous.
She's going to listen to this.
It's so great. She sings like 4 octaves higher than everybody. So Psalm chapter 95, verse 1, it says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. So singing is testifying of the Lord. I'm testifying of the Lord, talking about his goodness. We're also talking directly to him when we sing. Everybody's going to make a sound. We're going to make some wind come out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's hanging.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, we're going to talk about singing a new song.
That's fine.
Okay. So now, Matea, look, I'm changing stuff. We're going to skip the corporate praise and worship and go right to the 6 spiritual songs. I love her. So
after what she says.
After this. So singing a new song, Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. I want to go there. It says, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So praise team, come on up. We're going to show you the 6 types of spiritual songs, okay? These are, singing a new song to the Lord is just basically singing something completely different. There are many times up here where we'll just start making up songs. And sometimes people look around and they're like, oh, the media team don't know what song they're singing. It's because we're making it up. Matea's on point. When we just decide to just throw in a new song, a song that we didn't plan, you know, a song that's been previously written by a composer, sometimes we'll just throw a song in, and Matea's like, oh, here they go again. Let me find it. And Matea and Tina finds it because they on point. I love you guys. But those times when they don't have the words up there, it's because we're making it up right in this moment. We are doing the Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. We are singing a new song to the Lord so that people will see it and fear, have a reverence. That's what the word fear in that scripture means. in this particular verse so that people have a reverence and put their trust in the Lord. When we make up new songs, when we're singing a new song, sometimes these songs are just personal testimonies in our heart, and that's what's called the song of the bride. But I'm going to do these in order. I'm not going to go out of order, Mateo. I'm sorry. I'm going to stay in order. So the first one, the first one is, the first type of spiritual song is directed to the body. So you guys are the body because you ain't holding a mic. Okay? And sometimes when we're singing a new song to the Lord or singing a new song, we're singing to one another. It's to encourage ourselves. Okay? And that new song could be a scripture, like right now. Here I go. I'm flowing. I'm hearing this. The whole Lord art a shield above me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Now, that song just kind of bubbled up in my spirit. And that song, yes, it's talking directly to God, but I'm singing that song right now because I just sense that in this moment, there are some people that need to understand that God protects us. God covers us. And that song is a direct scripture. I believe it's in the book of Psalm. And so when you see, like if you see somebody on the praise team, they just pull out their phone, they're probably reading, singing a scripture. And that is a prophetic song for this moment to encourage the body, okay? So does anybody hear anything else? Do you have something else that you're hearing for this moment, something that will encourage the body? You can sing in on top of this melody if you want.
Right here, I can play right in top. All right.
Nope. You want to do one? Go ahead.
And this again is a word to encourage you. I will be with you wherever you go. Now this here is a song made up. It's not like a song already written. So it's just right out of the throne. I will be by your side. Reach out your hand and know I am here.
Bless the Lord. So that's an example of a song that's directed to the body. Okay.
Well, now, and I have also another one for that one.
Yeah. What?
That was one to encourage them. Another one that could work as well. We're not going to play the whole thing, but when we do, "My God is on."
Oh,
my
yeah.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken, strength when I am weak, and forever He will reign. So check that out. That's singing directly to the church. That's singing to the body. And basically, it's one of those songs that if you think, I don't know if you've heard the analogy, I remember different pastors talking about it, and I think I've shared it too. When you see ducks, or you see ducks, they're migrating, and you see them doing a V, mm-hmm. and you'll see that V is off. It's off, because the lead bird, he's the one breaking the wind. And all the other birds are cheering him on, saying, come on, you can do this. They're kind of encouraging. Then when he gets tired, he moves back, and the other one will take the lead. This is one of those type of songs where we're speaking to each other, and we're encouraging. We're saying, hey, my God is awesome. And you're telling somebody, my God is awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're telling somebody, my God is awesome. And before you know it, we're saying, our God is awesome. And it starts to build a faith. Yeah, we serve an awesome God. Mm-hmm. And we start to encourage each other and let God do what he wants to do. So that's mm-hmm. the song to the body. There's okay. many of them.
There's lots of different ones. Then during our praise and worship service, you may hear a song that's directed to the Father. It can be prophetic, meaning that it's just a brand new song, or it could be a song like one I just started with, Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Okay? So in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, it says, For both he who sanctifies and those are being sanctified are all one. All of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. So here's a song that's directed to the Father. I got it. Go ahead. I got it. We're going to sing. This is Breathe, right? Yeah. Here we go. Of a song directed to the Father, directed to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, okay? Another song, type of spiritual song, is Song of the Bridegroom, okay? This is Jesus singing to us, okay? So, and you can see this happen in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, it says, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever, and of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at first sight, says the Lord. So that's an example of the bridegroom, because we are the church, we are the bride, right? The bridegroom does sing over us, okay? Like that song, you dance over me, when I am overwhelmed, okay? How wide, how deep, yep. When I am overwhelmed. I hope I'm doing this right, y'all. Because it's doing two things at one time. We're singing to the Father, but he's also singing over us with his scripture. That's why it's important for us to know the Word of God. You can take the Word of God and sing that over yourself. It's very strengthening. There are documented medical cases of people being healed of cancer because they just sang scripture over themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's documented medical evidence. Do a Google. Do a Google. So did you have a bridegroom song that you have?
There's one that sometimes you'll hear we'll do. We don't do it all the time here, but it just says, whatever you ask for.
Shall not be denied. A Song of the Bride. And keep that going. A Song of the Bride is like if Pastor Otis sang that song as the bride, I can sing a response. I believe you, Lord. I do. I believe you, Lord. I do. Okay? So that's just a response. And sometimes, actually, we kind of do this a lot as a praise team. We'll do the Song of the Bridegroom, and we'll do the Song of the Bride a lot. And there's a lot of call and response. We do that a lot in our congregation, just in case you didn't know. So we do that a lot. It's
Ivan,
fun.
Before you go on,
go ahead. Hey,
does anybody on the praise team with a mic want to share what your experience in this is? As we're worshiping, and the things, anything you could share with the congregation that would give some revelation to how we move in these type of times?
The thing that I like to do, and the thing that just kind of starts washing over me, is I just remember the things that God has done for me in the past, and the things that I've seen happen that couldn't have happened without Him being in it.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of overwhelmed by that.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
Thank
Amen.
Jesus.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Jesus.
If you don't, that's fine.
And just being grateful and thankful for everything that He's done.
Yes.
That's what I think about all the time. Just being thankful and grateful.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Amen.
And new songs bubble up from what they're saying. Just remembering, you know, I have a real witness with that, Dave, when you said that there's some things that could have happened, but it didn't. I get a witness with that. There are some occasions where I probably shouldn't be here, but because of God, I am. And that's good. It causes a new song to bubble up within me. That constant thankfulness, that constant being grateful, that creates a miracle culture, so that someone who's ill, they come in here, and because of our thankfulness, because of our gratefulness, because of our desperation, their body is healed or their mind is changed. That's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're called to do. We're Bethel. We're the house of God. Amen. So the fifth one is the song of deliverance. And the sixth one is the prophetic song of war. So the scripture for a song of deliverance is Psalm chapter 32, verse 7. And then a prophetic song of war, the scripture references for that is Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31. And actually, you could do verse 31 and 32. Another one for the prophetic song of war is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 46. And the reason why I went through those is because I think we're kind of going to do both of those here at the same time. Go ahead.
Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
And may the enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make the praises loud. The enemy's been defeated. Singing. If we're just singing lyrics and don't connect. So Dave was talking about thinking about what he does, and I call it running a subtext.
That's right.
Okay, so you got something underneath that. That's we're singing these words, but for me, I'm thinking, okay, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold us down. And so I start running my victory list.
Yeah.
Everything that God's done and all the things he promised and he came through with. And what happens is my body has to start responding. This fleshly thing has to get in line with the spirit. Amen. Because I've willed myself to do what the spirit says and agree with the spirit. And so my body has to follow. So that's when it comes hard for me to not move or not dance. You don't know how many times I want to get up from the seat. So let's connect right now with what we're saying. You've been through some battles. The devil counted you out on some stuff. And you know, sometimes we sit there looking dignified, and God's saying dignified didn't get you out of that battle. You being pretty didn't get you out of that battle. You had to go through some hard spaces. There were some tears. So let's connect right now. You're saying, he's been defeated. Entered into a new family. Amen. Amen. I think about how often Donna comes up here. Every chance Donna has a chance, she gives a testimony about how her husband is defeating cancer. I look out and I see some of you who have gone through divorce. And you might have thought you had never had a chance for love again. And God hooked you up with a mate that loves you like you're supposed to be loved. Treats you like a queen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You've got your own thing to deal with. You've got your own victory list. When I look and see how God blessed us with babies that are beautiful. Yeah. That I love.
Yeah.
That we love. He's a good God.
Yes,
the enemy
he is.
Told us we wouldn't. But God says something else.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Come on now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. He's making a place for you. He set a table for you. Even your gifting, your talents will make room for you if you trust him. Amen. See, I see this and I get encouraged. Play better. I worship harder.
Yeah, thank
seriously.
You. Thank you, Lord.
When I see you throwing your log into the fire.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Go ahead. Ivy has to remind me the time. Go ahead, baby. Close us out.
Okay. Father God, we just thank you. Oh, breathe, oh, breath of God. We desire whatever you have. Whatever you have for us, we desire it, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that we are steadily and surely walking into who you have crafted us to be. We are steadily and we are surely. I am certain. I am certain that we are walking into who you have crafted us to be.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the call that you've placed upon all of us. We thank you for the call that you have placed upon this church. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that people will come here and they will be healed. We thank you that people will come here and prayers will be answered. We thank you that people will come here and wombs will open in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord God. We trust your hand in our lives. And we trust your provision for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Oh,
amen.
Everybody's going to make a sound. Everybody's
hallelujah.
Creating some wind.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah. Oh, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, we thank you, we thank you. So grateful we are. So grateful
yes.
we are, yeah.
All right, God bless you.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.